Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Meditation, Intimate Experiences with the Divine Through Contemplative Practices. Edited by Sister Dr. Jenna. Narrated by Sunila Nunkani. Part 1. Understanding Meditation. The quieter you become, the more you are able to hear. Rumi. A time to choose. We find ourselves right now in the age of great transformation, one of the most consequential moments in human history. These are indeed the times that the great prophets and seers throughout the millennia have spoken about. Mankind has experienced and survived many eras of tremendous change, of course, yet with each turn of the spiral, the permutations become more amplified, as if there will be one final revolution of the cycle that turns it all around so we can start anew once more. Dating back 2,000 to 3,000 years ago, these hallowed seers and prophets descended on Earth to illumine for us the path of love. But have we listened to them? Many centuries later, even though sacred texts have been scribed and timeless cultural and ancestral wisdom has been offered, we are still struggling just to be kind, respectful, and loving towards one another, and to be at peace with ourselves. Why haven't we done this yet? If all the solutions have been in our midst for thousands of years, why haven't we evolved into a human culture with spiritual integrity, able to stand firm in our individual self-worth, and while in the company of others, offer them this same respect? How many more generations must we live through while enduring violence, war, famine, poverty, rape, murder, and crisis after crisis, along with the cumulative trauma that all of this provokes? What is the missing link? I believe that we're catapulting into this self-destructive behavior because we are so external in our approach to how we live our lives that we're not able to hear the answers. We're not listening to our deepest thoughts, the ones that are hidden behind our surface thoughts. The antidote for this is to take time for internal reflection without interruption, without encroachment from outside opinions, conditionings, and presuppositions. More than ever in this epochal time, meditation is a crucial tool. If we are not hearing ourselves and each other anymore through the din of our modern lifestyle, meditation and other contemplative practices offer the means to slow down and listen to these innermost nudges that are quietly signaling to us who and what we really are, a soul, and why we're actually here in this human world. If we can carry that understanding inside of our personalities, we might just be able to save ourselves and each other a lot of wasted time and energy, and possibly save ourselves altogether. We are a species that knows how to reinvent ourselves and how to progress. One need only look at history to see evidence of how ingenuity has moved us forward. The past few hundred years, for example, brought forth agricultural, industrial, and technological revolutions. At this early turn of the 21st century, we are in the industry of self-reflection, introspection, and spiritual searching. The old ways of being and doing aren't going to get us where we are destined to go now. We must dig deep and catch those genuine jewels of thought. And meditation is the most direct route to that insight. Right now, our human population is being given the power of choice to either continue down the path of tragedy or to finally, ultimately learn that we are here to love and to choose the path of spiritual development and enlightenment. These past few years in particular have been challenging. If anything, it has forced us to be more reflective, and as a result, more of us are experiencing mystical moments in which we're seeing ourselves in a different way and our existence in a different light. Many of us have lost loved ones, our livelihoods, and daily routines that we've always relied on for security and comfort. We have no idea what the future holds. Some of us know what to do, but just don't have the internal strength to do it. Yet with a consistent practice of reflection and listening to the thoughts inside, while being sensitive to our feelings and emotions, we can prepare for whatever is coming next and get ourselves safely to our eventual destination. Where can meditation and contemplation take us? Imagine if more of us, a majority perhaps, led with patience, cooperation, and forgiveness. What would our lives be like? The personal stories in this book offer a taste of this. But first, let's turn inward to explore this mystical experience of meditation. The experience of God inside you. On some level, everybody meditates. To say that you have never meditated or don't know how to do it simply isn't true. Every one of us is naturally wired to have private, quiet, mindful moments in which we spontaneously review our lives to see if there is something better we can reach for. Similarly, we've all had mystical moments that enable us to transcend the ego, greed, lust, the need for security, and other limitations, and experience the divinity within. So the first question I ask anyone who is beginning a contemplative practice is, do you know that you already meditate? Can you remember a moment when you were going through a hard time and turned inward to find the solution? Chances are you have, and this ability to self-reflect becomes more of a practice once you awaken to it and want to sustain it. As I've gone deeper into what meditation has meant for my own life, it's definitely a coming home to the real essence of who I am. I can only be who I am if I'm honest with myself. That is all any of us can do. Meditation opens that window of self-honesty, which is the virtue we all need in order to navigate through the interweaving of experiences that are carried inside the soul. What is meditation? Meditation, therefore, is this intimate journey of coming home to the essential part of you that is beyond your titles, labels, and roles, and what society and your environment distracts you from. It gives you a chance to listen to those deeper, innermost thoughts that are directly connected to the purity and presence of the divine. Just imagine how your existence would change if your thoughts were connected not to the mundane aspects of life, but to the sacredness of Source. Everything elevates to a higher level. The sparkle of your personality, the words you speak, the way your eyes reflect peace, the choices you make, even the way you dress, the way you take care of yourself, how you are present in your relationships, it all refines and uplifts. Putting meditation into practice is when this private, intimate relationship with the divine becomes the catalyst to bring forth, through your singular personality, what the world is inherently yearning for, one of simplicity, laughter, abundance, and vibrancy. These traits emerge because the soul receives energy from its intimate connection with the Source. The highest role of meditation is not only a return to love, but more specifically, a return to a sacred quality of love. Sometimes we take for granted the power of these four letters. With a place in your life for contemplation, You begin to ponder, well, I know what human love feels like, but what about sacred love, which has an energy that is far greater? When two human beings become intimate, they tend to feel alive in their moments together, but later on it dies down. When your heart and soul merge with Source, there is no dying down. There is only a climbing up and an expansion of the energy of sublimeness that begins to surround you. So meditation is really about building and forming a deeper experience of sacred love, which melts away all that is impure. What is not sacred is hidden in the dark. Meditation illuminates love through you. And when anyone comes into your presence, they feel this sacredness and feel safe. This is what our world needs now. The kind of love that has the capacity to send good wishes, share pure feelings, think kind thoughts, and do things without asking for anything in return. It's the kind of love that can see in advance what your needs are and fulfill them before you even ask. Cultivating this expression of love is perhaps the greatest benefit of meditation, both personally and collectively. Before we go any further, I'd like to clear up a few misconceptions. First, it's important for us to now understand the interpretation of God in a more refined way. You will notice that I use the words God, the divine, source, and other terms interchangeably. I am not referring to a religious God, as in one that belongs to Hinduism, Christianity, Judaism, Islam, or others. We cannot squeeze God into a religion. He is much too big for that. I have dear friends who are high up in the Islamic tradition, the Christian tradition, the Judaic tradition, and we regularly come together and talk. I find that many are attached to the language that's connected to their particular tradition. The most important question is, how do we bypass all of that? Yes, you have your deep wisdom, traditions, and religious beliefs. But are you feeling God? What's your practical daily experience? What do you carry with you as a result of them? Each of us has the freedom to consider God in a personal and unique way, or refute the existence of a supreme being altogether. Those who do may still have supernatural and coincidental experiences in their lives. Even atheists can meditate, because I believe they take issue more with the concept of an organized structure that claims to know God and have power over God. This leads to confusion and disappointment, because if God exists, we wonder, shouldn't everything be grand? There shouldn't be war, genocide, hatred, or the suffering of millions of people around the world. But there is. Understanding the energy of God as an unlimited consciousness of love, peace, purity, and wisdom doesn't require a religious context or even a belief system. It requires only an open mind and the bravery to allow your mind to sift through concepts that may seem ineffable. This deeper and more accepting experience of the divine would eradicate much of the infighting amongst even people of faith. If your connection to your Creator is a personal and intimate one, then it doesn't belong to any religion. Maybe an organization, church, synagogue, or mosque doesn't own your contemplative moments for you. For this same reason, I think it's important to break the myth that you need to join a meditation group or study with a particular lineage in order to meditate. There is value in doing so if this is your desire or calling, and having a structure can help to discipline the mind. But it's not required to define yourself as someone who meditates. Now, let's dive deeper into the purpose of integrating this into your life, and what results when you live from this more refined place. How to meditate and why. Meditation will save your life. How so? It gives you the discernment to recognize the thoughts that are true from those that are an illusion. When you can't tell a diamond from a cubic zirconia, so to speak, you can get tricked, be fooled, self-sabotage, and end up with a great sense of loss. Developing the ability to listen to your thoughts, to see where they belong, is crucial. If they belong to the true essence of the self, which is a love that is sacred in you, and if these thoughts are based on the purity of the soul, the direction of your life takes on an entirely different shimmer. I ask you to again imagine what your life could be like if you were willing to allow these pure thoughts to come into your decision-making, into the way you maneuver in your relationships, into how you earn and spend your money, or just in the way you interpret life around you. Sit with this for a moment before continuing on to the next section. When your experiences of meditation and contemplation are rooted in this kind of intentional observation and awareness, it's saving your life because it mitigates the struggle. You give up the addiction that life has to be hard and filled with obstacles. Whenever difficulties arise, you stop pointing the finger at another for the reason why you're miserable. Meditation helps you to realize that you, and only you, are the creator of your life narrative. It wakes you up to self-responsibility as a birthright, not a burden. Moments of meditation can be captured either in stillness or when you're in action, whether taking care of your family, making a cup of tea, leading your team at work, or even walking from one room to the next. These moments often arise for me when I see someone's face in the midst of a conversation, because I'm looking at what's at the base of my intent for speaking my words as it relates to this person in front of me. Is there judgment, or is there a blessing? When you consider what's going on in the world right now, having just this goal to be much more thoughtful when encountering another would have a powerful effect. I don't mean to say that all would be perfect. There still needs to be an element of "I don't know me," because that element gives you the opportunity to be curious about life and the humility to learn from others. So the goal of meditation is not perfection, but rather clarity of mind and purity of heart. Stages of meditation. One of the myths about meditation is that you have to do it for 30 minutes in the morning or evening. Light a candle or incense. Hold a rosary or mala, recite a mantra, or read scripture. These are aspects of meditation that can make it more reverent for you. But even after doing these practices, it's important to observe, where are my thoughts? When you're reaching for your smartphone, opening the fridge, getting the children ready for school, putting one leg into your pants and then the other, where are your thoughts? Are you in the present moment, or are you in your past or the future? My approach to meditation derives from Raja Yoga, the practice of the Brahma Kumaris. It is a process that is simple, easy to follow, and that anyone can do. When I speak about how to meditate, I begin with discussing these stages because they are universal and true to every human being. The first steps in preparation for meditation are relaxation and concentration. In these practices, you begin to observe, then let go of the tension and stress of everyday life, and redirect the mind and body to a state of calm by focusing on your breath and that core question, where are my thoughts? The next stage is contemplation, or reflecting deeply on yourself, your inner world, your values, and what is going on in your life currently. If there's a relationship that's challenging you, for example, Place what you are going through in front of the divine in the form of contemplation. After a while of doing this, you will eventually reach the next stage, which is a place of stillness. This is where the soul settles and is in a mode of receptivity for what it needs to help you claim your power, deal with a situation in front of you, or to continue amplifying whatever you are becoming. The role of contemplation is to till the soil and climb to a higher dimension. Stillness is where you're open and giving permission to Source to fill you with everything that needs to be filled. When you come back into your five senses after a period of contemplation and stillness, the soul is now in motion. It carries the current of the fresh experience that has been captured from the divine in those moments. The next stage is realization, or when your self-understanding and feelings combine, and you begin to experience a profound, more meaningful reality within. The final stage is actual meditation, in which you are remembering your eternal identity and reawakening a profound sense of well-being. Regardless of the stage, the core aspect of this process is when your conscious thoughts slow down and are linked to the understanding of God being this supreme ocean of love and peace, and you realize that the energy of the divine will never judge you or hold anything against you. It just wants to keep giving power to your soul so that it can reclaim its original essence, value, and worth. As you experience meditation on increasingly deeper levels, you will eventually enter the incorporeal stage, where you're not conscious anymore of the thoughts connected to your five senses. You're just the soul, that sentient being of light. That energy of the soul is so vibrant, so powerful. When you're conscious of your energy as a soul in your body, and begin to have access to it, you become able to continue pulling in that orb of unconditional love and light from the divine. You surrender and are open to receiving sacred love. The vibrations from God just keep flowing through you, and eventually, when you do this process once, twice, 5 times, 100 times, 1,000 times, it develops a natural, innate sense of truth and divinity. Relating this back to the condition of our world, I sense and see that we're not pulling the energy of God's love into us enough. We are, but not enough. And remember, my interpretation of God isn't a religious one, but an energy of love, peace, wisdom, truth, and power. Now, if all of you, dear listeners, can pause again right here and just think on that for as long as you can, now and in your days going forward, I guarantee that eventually you'll experience a shift in your consciousness. This shift brings forth the humility to say, I need this remembrance and experience of sacred love, because if I don't have it as my internal compass, how am I going to survive in the outside world? Living the experience of meditation. I don't think that many people in my current life know that in my 20s, I owned 2 popular nightclubs on Miami Beach. I share more about this time in my life in part 2, so for now, I will just say that back then, I used to go to bed around the same time that I now awake in the morning to meditate. We'd close down the clubs around 5 o'clock in the morning and maybe go for breakfast. Then I'd head home to crash in bed and get up around noon. Every day I'd repeat the cycle, take a shower, get myself ready, have brunch with friends, and hang at the clubs for the rest of the day and night. It was an existence that focused on my dress, my physical appearance, where I lived, the fancy cars I drove, the men I dated, and who was with me in my social life. All of that was coming from a particular consciousness that the world gives permission for and says is okay. I thought that that's what life was all about. And I still don't see anything wrong with it, as I believe it's only unhealthy when you compromise your sense of self-worth and values to live a particular lifestyle. Today, I find myself in the teachings of Raja Yoga, and I'm asked to rise at 4 o'clock in the morning to meditate. I remember my parents doing all of this during my teenage years and was very inspired by them. But in early adult years, I hadn't considered that meditation was going to be my life. Yet something was recorded on my soul about the sacredness of those uninterrupted early morning hours. In later years, I would come to love listening to the soft whispers of God's wisdom in the air every morning at dawn, and I still do. Of course, living the experience of meditation is not confined to a practice or bound by time. It is always a part of you and your thoughts. I have conditioned myself to pause every hour on the hour to just check if I am Om Shanti, which means I am peace, and if I am connected, meaning is the energy of the divine moving me, or are my desires moving me? The Brahma Kumaris call this process traffic control, because it enables you to stop the traffic in your mind and check where you are. You might need to get off this exit or keep going down the path you're on. These traffic light moments keep us on course and give us the ability to redirect if needed. This hourly check-in takes care of even my little, limited human desires. But if I'm being moved by my desires, with an absence of that fragrance of the intent of God's vibration, then I'm going to eventually run into challenges, struggles, and obstacles. Even on days when I am extremely busy, which there are many, in the midst of it all, I pause every hour for a minute or two or three and reconnect to my truth. Meditation can permeate life in this way. The moment you open your eyes, give thanks before you eat a meal, before you fall asleep at night, any time you have a moment of anxiety or indecision and want to know the best way forward, and certainly when you are feeling frustrated, lonely, exhausted, or hopeless, turn to the one who is always there for you. These are all ripe meditative moments. I want to reemphasize that this is not necessarily easy and seamless. Our souls carry an accumulation of experiences that affect our thoughts and choices. What I can tell you is that there's nothing sweeter than being kind, thoughtful, open, and generous. Even if you are a spitfire, or you've lost your cool, or feel like a mess and are toppled upside down, be very open and honest about it in your meditative moments. Give it to God, and you will become right side up. In the secular and even the spirituality worlds, a lot of people seem to believe that a successful meditation is one in which you have no thoughts. I don't personally agree with that. I've seen a lot of people shy away from meditation when they hear that they have to empty the mind, as it feels like an impossible task. And it is, I believe, because the soul is an immortal, eternal, imperishable energy of light that is carrying many, many, many lifetimes of experiences inside of it. How can you turn off all of these experiences? How do you do that when there's so much in you that wants to express? To me, a successful meditation is where you've applied the right thoughts with the right interpretation of the experience in front of you, and it makes you into a stronger person. It's more like this. You listen, you respond. You listen again, and you receive. You listen, you respond. You listen again, and you receive. That receiving is where your answers are coming from, and those answers are all thoughts. That is why you can't empty your mind in meditation, or shouldn't. Life happens, right? Because the soul is in the
sample complete. Ready to continue?